Testimony the best. Yes. And that ought to excite you. Yes. Praise the Lord.
Jesus, sweetest name I discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Because of Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. Yes. I shall reign with him on high.
Oh, yes,
it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing. Keeps me singing as I go. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Standing, let's ask God to bless the service today, and that he would bless me, that I would do his perfect will up here today. Lord, we glorify you today.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord,
hallelujah,
for
bless your
all
word.
That you mean to us and all
yes.
that you've done,
bless
Lord.
Your word,
we
Lord.
Thank you,
hallelujah.
Lord, for the mighty work done upon the cross of Calvary, Lord, that we might be saved. And God, we pray that you will bless this message here today. Lord, cause me to do it right by thy spirit, Lord, that dwells within me. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Amen. God's good, isn't he?
Yes.
Hallelujah. The work done on Calvary did a mighty, marvelous thing. And I thank God that I found the truth in Christ Jesus. We're continuing our lessons today, the heart and the hope of a Christian. The question is that heart soft or is that heart hard? Amen. We might get into some of that today. But our focus verse is 2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3. Ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as we are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but within the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. I read that and first time I read that, I thought, man, that's going to be hard to understand there. But it's really not, because if we read the first verse before we get to this one, it'll show you what it's talking about. And let's go with 2 Corinthians again, still 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 1. Amen. God is good, isn't he? And all that good work going on here in Sandwich out there, they reaching out to Sandwich, amen? That's what we need to do. First verse said, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you?" Amen. What he's talking about here, there's people that was coming around then with letters of commendation, amen, for they could teach the children there in Corinthians. Amen. But Paul has something to tell them. He said in this verse, he said, "Ye," amen, he said, "ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men." Amen. That was their proof. That was their stamp of approval. Amen. It was the people that they left behind that was doing the will of God, that was doing the work of God, and that was doing the things that the apostles had taught them. Amen. And people recognize us the same way. They might see us walk down the street. They might say, "Well, that's from the Apostolic Church down on Eddy Street." How can they tell that? Because they see the works that you produce. That's how we are made known. Amen. When I was being raised up, it was in the days of Elvis Presley and all the Beatles and things like that, and the world was trying to mimic their hero. They was trying to mimic their God. Amen. They would comb their hair like Elvis Presley. They would walk around like Elvis Presley, and that's about as close as they got to being Elvis Presley, but they still, amen, they wanted to be like him. And, you know, we need to be like Jesus. Amen. That's what we've got to be. "For as much are you manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ." We are the only letter that some people ever read about Christ. Amen. That's the reason that God has given us the Holy Ghost, amen, to cause us to be able to walk in his statutes. Now, many of you might have been raised in church. I didn't come in church till I was 27 years old and never gotten to the truth till I was about 30. Amen. But I've learned a lot about God. One thing I had my mind made up to do, now man has failed me along the way. They failed me many times, and I'm sure I've failed them many times. But this is one thing I do. I'm like Paul. I press toward the mark of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. I didn't come into this thing to serve man. I come into this thing to serve God, and through him I serve man. Amen. That's the way it is. Amen. But I love the Lord today, and I hope I got something here I think that you can need. "For as much manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God." That's their letter of recommendation. Amen. What they have produced, what they have done, their reputation, what everybody says about them, that's their letter of recommendation. They don't take a recommendation from one person. Amen. They were the ones that should be giving out the letters of recommendation. Amen. But Paul said, "I don't need none." Now, I don't have any license to preach. I never have. Amen. I don't do that just because I don't want license. I just never did get around to it. But My commendation should be what I do in Christ Jesus. Not necessarily what I get up here and teach, but how I walk when I leave here. Amen. That's how things are. "Not in tables of stone as it was with Moses, but in fleshly tables of the heart." This has been a heart thing ever since I've been in it. And you know, all through the Bible you see how Israel hardened their hearts, and they hardened their hearts, and because they hardened their hearts, they were blinded to the things that God had for them in the New Testament. Their hardened hearts is what caused that. You know, the people that is most easily defended today is people that's got a hard heart, because it's hard for them to receive the things of Jesus Christ. They need this soft, this fleshly heart, that God wants to take out that stony heart, amen, and give to them a heart of flesh. Amen. The only letter of Christ that the world reads is us. And sometimes we can get them in here to church. That's our goal, is to do that. But sometimes that don't always happen. But amen, I think Brother Wells said it best the other night when he was teaching. He said, everybody here is an evangelist. When you're walking out there, your life is telling people about Christ. Whether you say one word, amen, your life is going to tell it all. Got a lot of people that do a lot of talking, but they need to do a lot of living. Amen. Our lesson today is living testimonies to our world. That's what it's about. Amen. Now, this stony heart that the Bible talks about in here, and that here the Bible talks about how these people of Israel should be. You know, I've heard it said many times that you can't do this by yourself. And that's the truth. But you know what? The Holy Ghost can't do it without your participation. He can't do it without you, and you can't do it without him. Amen. We have to yield to the Spirit of God. We have to yield to the Holy Ghost. You can quench the Spirit, you know that? It's up to us if we obey the Spirit of God that's within us. But when we don't, we grieve the Spirit of God. Amen. The Bible says God is grieved. But in Matthew 13 and verse 5, I'll read something to you here. Don't got it up there. I guess I'll have to find it. All right. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Now, verse 20. 13 and 20. But he that received the seed in stony places is the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Now, verse 21. Yet has he not root in himself, but endureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now, that stony ground is represented of a hardened heart. Now, without a heart that God can move in, without a soft heart, a heart of flesh, and get rid of that stony heart, God can't do much in you. Amen. Why? Because you continue to resist him because of the hardness of your heart. When your heart is hardened, the Word of God is offensive to you. Now, you haven't always read the Word of God and get to the point where that you're reading something that just offends you a little bit. You say, why is God so hard? Why is God this? Why is that? See, that's a hard heart. You won't let God penetrate you that you can get to know him. Now, one thing I don't do, I don't tell God how to be God. Now, I take his word, and I try to do what I can with his word. Amen. But he's the one, if you don't like it, it's too bad. He's God. He's a sovereign God, and he can do what he will. And we must serve him for the God that he is. Many people get into a marriage, and they begin to want to change the person. Well, they should have got to know him good enough before they married him. Because chances are they're not going to change too much, and they may change some. But God changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no changing in God. We need to do the changing. 2 Corinthians 3 and 5. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3 and 5. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Now, there's a lot of scripture in here that can tell you about God, that he has to be with you before your works mean anything. We can have works, but without the Spirit of God, Christ says, if you have not my Spirit, you're none of his. So we know we got to have the Spirit of God dwelling within us, and it will lead us and guide us into all truth. Romans 11, 25. 25 and 26. Romans 11, 24. I will not have you, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. At least you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now, I said all of Israel is going to be saved. Amen. God has a plan for Israel. It doesn't stop when we stop. Amen. It goes on. Ezekiel 36. I've got it wrote down here. You don't put it up here for the people. Ezekiel 36, 25 and 27. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be cleansed from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Verse 26. And a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will, and And I will take away this stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And verse 27, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Now, how are they going to walk in his statutes? It's when he puts his spirit within them. Amen. Without the Spirit of God, you're none of his. You have nothing. You're not a Christian. You need to repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, as the Scripture says. Amen. God is great in his way. I'm glad that he turned to the Gentiles. I'm not glad that Israel hardened their hearts and would not receive him, but I'm glad he came to the Gentiles. You know, it might have been written different had Israel received Christ. They might have been the nation that spread this all the way across the world instead of a remnant that had to spread it. But because of the hardness of their heart, God went to the Gentiles. He turned to the Gentiles. He left them. He said, I'm going to come back to you another day. Amen. He didn't throw them away. He wasn't done with them. But because of the hardness of their heart, amen, nothing could penetrate. They offended in the Word of God. Everything he said offended them. Many times when the Word of God begins to move on you and you begin to walk and live for God, first thing Satan wants to do is start questioning you about the Word of God, whether it's true or whether it's not. But he did that with Eve all the way back there. The first time he brought his ugly face before man. He told Eve, surely you shall not die. For God knoweth, once you eat of this thing, you'll know good and evil. See, he took the Scripture and gave a little bit of Scripture, amen, to get Eve to move in the way that he wanted her to go. And you know, he's still pulling the same thing. He still, but he works on the hardened hearts. He works on that stony ground. Amen, where the word cannot penetrate because it can't get any depthness of heart. Amen, because of the hardness of their heart, the word of God cannot penetrate. That's reading it says in the Beatitudes in chapter 5. Amen, blessed is he that is poor in spirit, for such is the kingdom of God. Because when you're poor in spirit, you have a heart of flesh, a fleshly heart that God can move in. Amen, but we have this stony heart that God can't do much with. Why? Because like it said in the Bible, they get it by and by when the word of God comes, they're offended. And you can't, and we've seen that everywhere. Day after day we've seen that. Acts 1 and 8. Acts 1 and 8 tells us that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now this thing happened back in the Old Testament in Ezekiel. This was a prophecy to the children of God, to Israel. Amen. But it was the same thing that is going to be with them. It's the same thing that happened on the day of Pentecost. Amen. He put his spirit within us. We were washed with pure water. Amen. They were sprinkled. They sprinkled their hearts with pure water. But what sprinkling is a symbol of an unbreakable covenant. Moses took and he sprinkled the children of Israel with blood of the animals, the bulls, the goats, and the sheep. He took that blood and he sprinkled the children of Israel and said, this is your covenant between you and God. God made a covenant with them right then. And when God fills you with his spirit, when his blood is sprinkled upon your heart, amen, you have an unbreakable covenant with Jesus Christ. Amen. It goes all the way back. Amen. This thing just keeps on going. And that's the reason Christ said, I did not come to do away with the law. I come to fulfill it. That was the fulfillment of every law, was Jesus Christ. Every other sacrifice, they made a covenant with them, but they just kept that covenant going this way. Now, God don't break his covenant. Now, Israel, they had a hardness of heart. They didn't receive Jesus Christ, but he kept on looking for them. He kept on with them. He's not done with them. He said, I made an unbreakable covenant with you. When Moses took the blood of the animals and he shed it across to you and applied that blood to you as Christ's blood is applied to our hearts. Unbreakable covenant. Amen. We repent, be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. God cannot work in us unless we have a humble spirit. He can't work in a proud spirit. He said, I hate a proud look. Amen. And he hates a proud heart. Now, we're Christians. We're children of God. But God may be wanting to do something with you. But maybe he can't because you have too much pride. So he begins to work on you to humble you, and that's not very pleasant. When God begins, when he has to do the humbling, it's not very pleasant. Amen. All through Israel, you see the things that happened to Israel. Why? Because God was trying to humble them. They had this proud and haughty spirit. They thought they could go their own way. Amen. The Pharisee in the New Testament. That's why God was so hard against them. They had made their own way. They didn't need Jesus Christ. They had figured out by their works they could save themselves. That's the reason Christ said, your works are as filthy rags. He says, sometimes some of these things you ought to have done, but you ought not to have left the other things undone. Now the things they done by dressing good, covering themselves up, but theirs were always for one purpose, for man to look upon them. And so, look, this is a way for your salvation. This is how you get saved. Amen. You do like we do. Man begins to go his own way. And man's own way leadeth to destruction. The Pharisee, they couldn't save themselves. I don't care how good their work is. They had to come by the cross. Amen. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Having that blood sprinkled on our hearts. And amen. Having an unbreakable covenant between us and God. Amen. God is great in all his ways. But you know, we talk about how we are examples to others. You know what? You're an example to Israel too? Amen. Romans 10 and 19. But did not Israel know? Did not Israel know? Amen. You know, I think a lot of people knows, but they harden their hearts because they don't want to line up to the way that God wants them to line up. Did not Israel know? First, Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy. By them that are no people, and by a foolish nation, will I anger you. They become jealous when they see people move in the word of God. When God uses us, they become jealous. They see the works that we do, amen, and it reminds them of what they did to Christ, how they rejected Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of Jews that's becoming Christians. A lot of Muslims becoming Christians. Why? Because they see the Christian people. Now, the worst thing that ever happened to the Christian church for man to look at was when they began to serve three gods. Israel knows better than that. Brother Bernard, I read where he said he went over there and they wanted to buy one of these trinkets they put on that God had them to wear to remember what God wanted them to remember. I forget what it's called. Anybody? What is it? Yeah. He said they would not sell him one. He said, because you believe in three gods, we can't sell you one. So he said, no. He said, not everybody in America believes there's three gods. He said, we believe there is but one God. He said, we might differ from you. We believe that Jesus Christ came manifested in the flesh, but there was only one God. They wouldn't know there's three manifestations of the same God, but there's not three persons of the Godhead. Amen. But you know what he did? He said they just about fell over themselves trying to sell those things to him then. But see, we have to be, how do people know that we are in God when we walk in truth? When we walk in the truth of God, that's how people know. How other way can they know? Now, and also our love one for another. Now, I've been in this thing long enough to know that God knows how to stir up God's people too. Satan knows how to stir us up. But if we would do the things that God said, and I want to get to some of them, hopefully I'll get there, what he would want us to do, how he would want us to live. We pay so much attention to the outward appearance that we forget the inner man. Not that we should forget the other, just don't leave the other things undone. And they want to judge us as Pharisees because we have the outward appearance. But you know what's in the heart comes out in the flesh. what was in the Pharisees, what was in their heart, that's what came out. And they had their reward already. Whatever they got out of their work, that's what they had. But they didn't have the works of Christ. Amen. Moses sprinkled the children of Israel. And as we read here a while ago, unbreakable covenant. He sprinkled them. And now, you see from this, amen, his covenant goes on. God don't break his covenants, we break them. He goes right on. John 1, 11 and 12. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Why didn't they receive him? Because they didn't want to admit they were wrong. They didn't want to admit they wasn't doing everything right. And before you can grow in God, you got to begin to find your mistakes and correct your mistakes. Amen. Sometimes we make mistakes and we just go right on over them. And because we made that mistake, it just kept on a domino effect into the rest of it. If you miss the first part of it, you're not going to get the last part of it right. Amen. I was in the Trinity Church for some 3 years. And when people come to me and show me a more perfect way, amen, some apostolic people, they showed me where they were baptized in Jesus' name. They challenged me to find three gods in the Bible. I said, what can I say? Amen. But most people, oh no, I'll find something, give me some time. They're ready to argue the point. Whether they're right or whether they're wrong, they're ready to argue the point. That's not the point they want the truth. They want to make sure that you don't outdo them. I mean, after all, my grandmothers did this. My great-grandmother, my great-great-grandmother had this. Are you telling me they're all wrong? I said, no, they're gone, but I'm telling you, you're wrong. Amen. You can do something about it. They can't. Amen. Hebrews 10 and 22. With a new heart, let us draw near to God with a new heart. Get rid of that stony heart removed. In full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled. Amen. We got our hearts sprinkled. That's an unbreakable covenant. We got our hearts sprinkled. And Israel's going to get their sprinkled one day when every knee bows and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That sprinkle wasn't enough. Amen. Our bodies had to be washed with pure water. You check all of that. That's waters of baptism. And how can they say baptism isn't necessary? We're identified with Christ through baptism. If you're not baptized, you're not identified with your Savior. We must be baptized. If the Bible says we must repent, we must do that too. The man at Caterpillar, he said, I don't believe you have to be baptized. I said, you believe you have to repent? Oh, yeah, that's Bible. You just go, what can you say? We are today of what Israel could have been. But God knew it all the way back there. Amen. If you read the rest of that chapter, you'll see where this is when Ezekiel begins to prophesy how God began to draw his people back to their land, back to the land of Israel. And he said, they'll never leave again. And then he spoke of a time that he's going to come back and revisit them. Amen. They're not done. He's not done with them. Amen. The Bible tells us to be very, very careful about quenching the Spirit of God. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. What's it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, in our lesson today, in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk. Underline that walk two times, because that's what it's talking about. And to please God, so you would abound more and more. In Philippians, Paul speaking to the church, he said they were doing good in when he was there, or they was doing good in his absence. So he told them to work out your own salvation. See, I can't be there. Work it out. Work out what you already know. Amen. You have to have salvation before you can work it out. You can't work out if you don't have no body. And you've got to have salvation before you can work it out. That's all it means. It don't mean that you can work it out any way you want to. Amen. We must work it out according to the will of God. Bring up Philippians 2. Philippians 2 and 12. It says for us to work our own salvation out. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. Like it was back in the Old Testament when Ezekiel said he put a spirit in them that caused them to walk in their statutes. Now, Paul was telling them, walk, work out your own salvation. I can't be there, but continue doing as you are by working out your own salvation. You're doing all right. I'll get there when I can. But in no way will you find in that scripture where you can work it out any way you want to. There's just no way that you can do that. Amen. So he says, as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Amen. If you run and you get into a race, only way you're going to beat anybody else if you work out your racing. If you run, you'll abound more and more. If you lift weights, you'll abound more and more and more. But if you sit down and don't do nothing, you'll fizzle away. That's the way the Word of God. If God, we don't go into the Word of God, we'll just fizzle away as far as Christians are. We have to work out our own salvation. Amen. The Bible says with fear and trembling. Amen. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Amen. Jesus gave quite a few. And I think I wrote it down here. I probably did, but I probably can't find it. I wish I'd paid attention in school so I know how to do good outlines. I just never did learn how to do that well. But we know that God is trying to get us to work out our own salvation. I believe this is in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 3. Just bring that up and see if that is. No, that's not what I'm looking for. Okay. All right, but anyway, God has a lot of things that he wants us to do, a lot of ways he wants us to live. Amen. You know, sometimes, especially in the apostolic movement, I find sometimes that we're easy to offend. And I believe that this is how we want to handle that offense. How to handle that offense is like this. Be mild when they're angry. Amen. Let the love of God flow from you. The Bible says, let your light so shine before man that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Show them you don't have to yield to that. When they are haughty, to their blasphemy, oppose prayer without ceasing. And to their inconsistency, a steadfast adherence to your faith. Amen. But the work of God is 2 Corinthians 5 and 14. I think that's where I'm going. That's part of where I'm going. 2 Corinthians 5 and 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Amen. I'm dead to this world. Amen. I walk in newness of life. Amen. And the Spirit that is within us, it constraineth me to do good works. Amen. I could no longer be like I was. By Romans 12 and 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, amen, but be conformed to the Spirit of God by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Our mind, you know, when I came into church, and many of you might have been in church a long time, but I bet this still had to happen to you. At one point, you had to have a renewing of your mind. Amen. You had to walk in a different direction, a direction you didn't really want to go. But we had to walk in newness of life. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. We have a positional sanctification. That was when our hearts were sprinkled with the blood of Christ and unbreakable confidence. But we have also a practical sanctification. Amen. That's when we begin to do the works. Amen. That's when the rubber meets the word. The road. You go out and begin to walk in newness of life. You've received it. Now you've got to walk in it. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. That's this guy right here. In sanctification and honor. Not in lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles was know not God. I got to concupiscence, I got the meaning of it. It means to covet or lust after, to desire or covet, lust unlawful or irregular desire of sexual pleasure. Irregular means, I think that would probably mean a perverted style. In a more general sense, the coveting of carnal things or an irregular appetite for the worldly good, inclination for unlawful enjoyment. That's what that means. So it's pretty self-explanatory what it's talking about. But then, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, not in the lust of concupiscence. Go to verse 6. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned and testified. Amen. He's already told them how they should act. Amen. We should love our brother. We should never take advantage of our brother. Amen. We should treat him with as much love as we have for ourselves. Now, the Bible tells me you need to even try to love your enemy. Amen. That's where you press to the mark of the higher calling of God that is in Christ Jesus. That's where you press for that higher calling. Amen. There's a lot of things this flesh has to overcome. And this is our walk with God. I ain't teaching about whether you're saved or not. I'm teaching about how people walk that are saved or how God wants them to walk. I know we have different levels. We have some down here, some here, some here, some here. The Bible speaks of that too. That no man go beyond defraud his brother, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, and also have forewarned. For God has not called us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Therefore, that despise not man, but God. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Your attitudes taught you that. Amen. I love all my brothers and sisters. I even love the ones that don't like me. Why? Because if not, I'm going to practice that, see if I can get it right. Because you have to do that. You have to be willing to let God have his way. If you don't, you quench the Spirit of God. You frustrate the Spirit of God. And indeed, ye do it toward all brethren, which are all Macedonian, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. He wants us to increase more and more in our love for the world and our love for the church and these things. And that you study to be quiet. That might be a lesson right there. And to do your own business. I had a person out of work where I worked at the school there, and always getting in everybody's business. When they had this thing where you come, they give you a review or something, see how you've been doing. They said, you need to mind your own business. Sometimes we just need to mind our own business, as the Bible says. And you study to be quiet. If you ain't got nothing good to say, sometimes it's better just not to say nothing. Amen. I believe if we can get the love part right, how we treat our fellow man and how we treat our brother, I believe everything else will just fall into place. Amen. But we've got our minds so much on how short Shirley's dress is, and those kinds, which is all right. But let's not, if you don't have this right, you're not going to be able to work in that person to get that right. Amen. That you may walk honestly but toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. Walk honestly. Don't defraud anybody. Don't take advantage of anybody. Just do it according to the way God said to do it. And that's all I have, because I see Sister Davis coming up here. All right. I hope I helped you some today. Amen. Just remember, your hearts are sprinkled with the blood of Christ, and you've been washed with that pure water. You have an unbreakable covenant with God. Amen. And He wants to work in you. Amen. God bless you.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, take my feet, touch my heart, Lord, seek me.
One more time.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
These altars are open for a time of prayer. Our Sunday school classes will be returning to the auditorium here momentarily. We'll begin second session here at 11 o'clock, but we invite you to come, pray, spend some time before the Lord. If you need to converse or use the restroom, then it would be a good time to exit the sanctuary for a period of time. Let's be reverent to what takes place here in the house. We love you. We thank you for being here this morning. We ask that you would join us at 11 o'clock for our second session. God bless you.
Here's my heart.